So some of you may have been aware or may have even been there, but in the spring we had a wonderful Saturday morning. Actually, I think it was all day. No, was it just the morning, I think, where we gathered with a whole bunch of parents and leaders and volunteers, and we brainstormed and we listened and we wrestled and we laughed until we were able to name the five central things that we care about as we disciple children and youth. This is a huge gift and a huge responsibility in the life of our church together. And so this morning, as we enter into this exciting journey, we have some values to unpack, some things that we want to name and then unpack. What do they mean? And so we've got some helpers today. Hopefully. Okay, we've got helpers bearing gifts, bearing loads. Oh my goodness. This is awesome. Okay, so you guys can have a seat, and you can just leave that right there, Isaac. You'll have big muscles this afternoon. There's two rows for all the kids, okay? So go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to talk about some of these values. I wonder, should we have that old vintage suitcase? Super old. Do you want to bring it up? It's you, yeah. And let's put it down here, and let's see what's in there. Do you know how to open this kind of old suitcase? Lay it down. It's different. You have to push these out. Okay. Oh my goodness. Now, first, what we're going to need is a big poster. Do you guys see a big poster? So leave the other things in. Oh, yeah. Hey. Look at this. So, yeah. So this is the rule about all the suitcases, is that we don't touch what's in there until it's time. Okay? Okay, so intergenerational relationships. What does that mean? Miss Lorna was having a hard time even saying this word this week. It's big. Intergenerational. So what does it mean? Somebody just yell it out. Connections between older and younger people. Did you know that we've got someone part of our church who is almost 102 years old? Grace Olson is going to be 102 on the 21st of September. And when I go to visit Grace, I bring Eden, who is 5, but she's been Grace's buddy since she was 3. And the thing is that there's something different when I visit Grace with Eden, because Grace's face lights up, and somehow Eden has this way of making Grace's day. And in the same way, Grace opens Eden's eyes to people who are different than her, people who look different, who are much older. And Grace in our family has kind of been a benchmark of history. So if it has anything to do with the last century, our kids immediately figure out how old would Grace have been when that happened. Okay? So this is some intergenerational things. Do you guys remember when we talked about Samuel and Eli? Eli was a priest, at the house of the Lord, and this woman, Hannah, had a miracle baby named Samuel, and she brought Samuel to live with Eli. So why did she do that? Well, Samuel needed a teacher. And so Eli was quite an old man. He couldn't see very well at that point, but he could teach. He could teach Samuel about how to serve the Lord. But guess what? Samuel had something to teach Eli. Samuel heard God's voice calling out to him in the middle of the night, and he kept running over to talk to Eli and said, "Here I am. I heard you." And Eli said, "No, it wasn't me." Well, this happens three times before suddenly it clues in for Eli, who has been having a very hard time hearing God's voice. It clues in for him that Samuel is hearing God. And so you see, they needed each other. It was intergenerational. Eli needed Samuel to help him hear God's voice, and Samuel needed Eli to teach him. So let's see what's in this suitcase. Well, first of all, there was something that Isaac brought in that was huge. Okay, what? I think we should bring it up, but do you think between the three of us we could lift it up?
Okay. No, I can do it by myself.
Well, let's do it. No, leave the scooter down. Leave the scooter down. Okay, let's do it. Ready?
On the table.
Oh, I better move this. Okay, look at this. Awesome. Okay, so intergenerational relationships, they have this way that when children form intergenerational faith relationships, they have a solid base continue a strong relationship with God and connection with the wider church as they become young adults. Intergenerational relationships are foundational. It's the base. And research has been showing, especially over the last 5 years, that it is not fancy youth groups. It is not super fun kids programs that make faith and relationship with God stick for young people as they become adults. It's actually relationships with older people. Multiple intergenerational relationships, that's what builds a strong base for children and youth as they grow with God. So let's see what else is in here. Caleb, can you reach it over here? Have you tried to carry that, Isaac? Have you touched this?
Yes.
Is it really heavy? Okay. Do you think I can carry it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you can carry it.
Okay. Look at this. Okay, this is to represent this, that small churches are particularly strong at intergenerational relationships. So this is our strength, College Park. We are not a big church, but this is our strength, intergenerational relationships. These kind of relationships between young people and old people and people who experience and know one another's names and actually walk alongside each other. What's the last thing in there, you guys? Oh. Now, do you want to close this up while I'm talking? You can just slide it under the table, okay? Not too far. What is this? A calendar. Okay, so how do we foster intergenerational relationships? Well, we foster them through mentoring, through social events, through serving alongside one another, and being intentional about learning from one another. We actually set a date. We do stuff on purpose. We're intentional about how we form relationships with one another. So this is one of our big values, intentional, intergenerational relationships. About 4 years ago, when Steve and I and our family, we were just getting settled in Saskatoon, and I had to go away for a whole week, and so Steve was going to be at home with three little kids. They were all preschoolers, and it was a little daunting, and I was a little worried about leaving him. And so a friend, an amazing friend who had just recently retired, came and said, "Steve, I'm going to come and hang out with your kids on Wednesday afternoon." And she did, and she came, and she said, "You can rest, Steve, you can get work done, you can just do whatever you want, but I'm going to come and I'm just going to show up." Well, after that week, then she said, "So just so you know, I'm going to show up every Wednesday afternoon, and I'm going to be with your kids. And don't try to pay me, I'm just going to be there." And so this happened over and over and over, all the way until Eden has started kindergarten, all the way until now. And so what the gift is that this person gave to us wasn't just childcare, right? The gift is that our kids are known by someone. They are known, their routines, their day-to-day kind of struggles, who they are, their personalities. They have a special friend who cares about them, who comes to preschool graduations and comes to concerts and asks about them and is wondering what they're thinking about. And so for me and for Steve, when in the future, when our kids are more grown up and they look back on what it was like to be a pastor's kid, which, just so you know, is not always a very smooth kind of journey, I have a feeling that a big part of our kids' experience of the church is going to be our friend who has shown them what the church is and who has shown them what God's love is. Intergenerational relationships. So we have some more luggage to unpack, I have a feeling. Aiden, do you have a book bag there? Okay. Now, is there any kind of poster connected to this bag? What could be in here? Oh, there is. Okay, let's pull out the poster. Do you want to hold this up, Jacob, so everybody can read it? Can you read it? Good. Oh, my goodness. Smart kids. Okay, biblical literacy. So what in the world is biblical literacy? Okay, I'll give you a little hint. Literacy is a word it's a juicy word to describe knowing how to read and understand what you're reading. And so biblical literacy is knowing how to read the Bible and actually understanding what you read. All right. So, biblical literacy. Let's go over to the next slide. Let's look at the first thing, or one of the first things. It was a basket, and it had a whole bunch of stuff in it. Should we put that in there? What else was in there? Oh, yum. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Where is the little Bible? Okay. Can you hold that up so everybody can see? Yeah, you hold them up together. That's good. Okay, so our first value, do you guys see this little basket of food? Yummy food. And a little Bible. The first thing about biblical literacy is that it is our desire. Did I bring the paper over? Okay, it's our desire that a hearty appetite for God and a growing understanding of how to read it and be shaped by it is what we desire for our adults and our children alike. A hearty appetite for God's word. Wanting to devour it, wanting to eat it up, take it in. All right, so what else is in there? There's something kind of big. Okay, let's do this one last. I'm going to just put this by this. Okay, what is this? Okay, you stretch it out. And let's, you just hold on, Katie. Okay, so what does a butterfly represent? What was a butterfly before it was a butterfly? A caterpillar. And then what does it do? It goes into a cocoon or a chrysalis. Let's put this right like that. Okay. And so a butterfly comes out. It represents something that has died and comes back with new life. And so we recognize the beauty and the significance of the overarching story of God through the Bible. And we are invited to find ourselves inside that same story. So 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have gone and the new things have come." That's like the butterfly. And so the biblical story is this story of finding new life, redemption. That's what we value. We want to find new life. There's one other image that the Bible uses. What's this, Katie? A stone, a rock. So Ezekiel, in chapter 36, gives this image where God says, "I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." It's kind of like this picture of the butterfly. What is old has gone, what is new has come. And so God says, "I'm going to transform you by my spirit. I'm going to make you new, someone who can think and feel along with me, who can actually be in relationship with me with a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone." So this is the gift of the Bible, the gift of biblical literacy, that we would know and understand God's word. My good friend Karen from Alberta, she said to me one day, she said, "I'm Joseph because I keep realizing that my life has very similar themes as Joseph. And God is inviting me to learn to live like Joseph." And Joseph was this guy who forgave, even though he had been hurt terribly by his brothers. He learned to forgive. And in fact, God used him in all these mighty ways because he was ready to forgive. And so my friend Karen realized she found herself inside of God's big story. Who knows an epic story? Like what? What's an epic story, Ash? Our trip when we drove down to San Francisco. That was epic. That's right. Okay, who likes Star Wars? Oh, okay, Aaron, you have to stand up. Okay, Star Wars. Okay, or Tolkien, right? Or even Harry Potter. There are some stories, whether they're books or novels or movies or TV series or whatever, stories that begin to capture us. And do you know how we start to kind of live in them? Is we recognize ourselves in the characters, and we start making connections between different things in life and these stories. Well, the gift of biblical literacy, of the big story of God, is that we would find ourselves inside this story of God. See, the biggest, the most epic of stories is God's big story. And that's what's told to us in the Bible. And so the Bible is not this rule book that, you know, we open up to just find out how to do things right. No, the Bible is an epic story, and it has wisdom and poetry and songs and history all wrapped up into it, this epic story that Jesus says, "You are part of the story. I'm changing you into a butterfly. I'm giving you a heart of flesh. You're part of my big story." So that's biblical literacy. Did you guys put your bag under there? Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, let's find out what's in that the backpack. Let's find out what's in there. We're going to unpack it. Okay, so, you know, Jesus said this. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and be with him." So, what's the big poster on this one?
Oh.
Life with Jesus. Hey. Did you guys hear that?
Life with Jesus.
Life with Jesus. Okay, so this whole thing of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, is it because he just wanted to, like, hand off some rules? And then he's like, "I'm going to go back to my house. You better follow these rules." No. What we value is life with Jesus. And Jesus says, "I want life with you." God is not interested in just getting people to do things his way. God is interested in relationship. God, in his big story recorded across the entire Bible, is this story of making a people for himself, making people who he can be in relationship. He comes and he eats with us and he hangs out with us and he actually lives in us. He invites us into his life and he comes into ours. And so it's kind of like this backpack, this hiking, it's like this journey where Jesus never, like, leaves. He comes along and we come along with him. So what's in that backpack? What else is in there? Do you see any, like, big number ones? Let's do the number one. Okay. What's this? It's the big number one. So we believe that an ongoing personal encounter with the living God is the highlight of our entire existence. This is our number one hope for children and adults in our lives. An ongoing personal encounter with Jesus. That's what we want. That's number one. Are there any cards in there? Okay, these are football cards. Okay, so I could look at all of these and I could study and, like, memorize each of these players. And I could know all the facts about them. And I could tell you all the statistics. And you could ask me a question. I could tell you anything about them. Or I could actually, do you want to stand up? Is there a football in there? Okay. I could actually meet the player, right? I could meet Rob Begg, right? Okay. Who wants these when I've got this? It's a personal encounter, a relationship. So, knowing the Bible and knowing about God is not the same as knowing and being known by God. We will always look for opportunity to introduce and foster personal relationship with Jesus. That's what we're about. We want to invite each child, each adult, each youth into relationship with Jesus. Okay. And finally, what else is in there? Let's see, Dylan. What have you got? Okay, this is a bit of a mystery to you guys. Do you know what this is?
A phone.
A phone. It is a radio. And I was going to, like, get it all lined up so that we would tune in. We'll just give it a try. Who knows? I could tune in, couldn't
I? It's a shortwave radio.
Oh.
Wait, there we go.
Okay. So this antenna, it is picking up the different radio waves, the radio waves that are going around the room. Isn't that cool? And so this is what we believe. We believe that every single person is capable of hearing Jesus' voice. Every single person has an antenna. You are born with it. Every single person has the ability to tune in to Jesus and to hear his voice. And you know what? Jesus desires to speak to each one of us. We trust him to be our teacher and our guide and to love us well. So, Jeremiah 3:33 says, "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you would never figure out on your own." Okay? So Jesus wants to live with us. He wants to speak to us. Okay, so I think that's everything in that bag. Is that right? Okay. As a kid, I lived in this way. We'll just wait 1 minute. Do you want to put that bag underneath here? Let's put it on this side. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys. Do you want to put this up here? Yeah. Well, you can... Why don't we'll just do this. That's fine. Okay, you guys can have a seat. Thanks. When I was a kid, I was really intent on living in a way that looked right and looked like a Christian. But what was the most life-changing thing for me was this growing realization that Jesus wanted not to just have me do things the right way, but that Jesus wanted to speak with me and to be with me and to live with me. And so this is life with Jesus. Okay, what's this cooler about? Is there a poster in there? Oh, what does it say, Jing Sing? Serving together. Okay, this is our next value. And so we value serving together. Do you guys remember in the spring, we talked a whole bunch about, one Sunday, we talked a whole bunch about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we realized that Jesus washing the disciples' feet was not just a like one-time thing, but that actually his whole life was an example of Jesus washing feet. And so when we serve, Jesus is transforming us to be more like him. When we do thoughtful things for someone else, then we're being more and more like Jesus. But here's the thing. God gave us a really important picture. Let's get this together, and we need all three of you to work on it. Okay, and I'm going to give you something to do this puzzle together. Okay, so we're going to put it together. And when it's done, then we'll stick it down, okay? So Jesus actually gave us a picture for what it looks like for us to be people of God. And he said, this is what you're going to be like. You're not going to just be individuals floating around living with Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. What are you going to be? You're not going to be just hands floating around or a foot here or a head there. Sorry. I kind of wrecked it when I picked it up. You are going to be a body, the body of Christ. And so when we serve together, it's completely different than trying to do something on your own, because you've got two hands to do it, or you've got feet. You've got hands and feet to make the job get done. All right. Do you see the little guy, the body? Okay. So, the body of Christ serving together. Many parts of one body. When we reach out to do something for someone else, we act as God's hands in the world. We believe that serving is part of God's design for developing us and maturing us. This is actually how he wants it to work. 1 Peter says this, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace." It's like together, as God's body, we spread grace everywhere. We throw grace here, we throw grace there, we spread it over here, we remember that corner, we do that together. Okay, now we're going to need two adults, two maybe men, but it could be women. You have to feel very no back problems. Feel kind of strong, feel kind of secure. And then we need... Do you... Okay. Okay, who... Hey, Matt. Okay, how about... He's like, what? What? Okay, what about this? Let's have Matt and then Steve. Do you want to be the other... You want to stand on them? Okay. So you guys will go down on your hands and knees. Nice. Yeah, I have to go close together. Well, he'll handle it probably. Okay. Okay, can you stand up and look around? Can you see more than you could see before? Yeah. When we serve together, when we serve together, adults and children, we learn from and inspire one another. We discover who we are and what we can do. We also deepen our dependence and our trust for one another. Okay? So especially when we serve adults and children together, this is how we build confidence, how we discover things about who we are and what we can do. So think about the ways that you've learned who you are. It's probably because someone gave you an opportunity. Someone said, why don't you give this a try and I'll do it with you. And so this is our job as a body, is to serve together. This is how we teach and how we grow, how we develop into who we are, both as children but also as adults. Okay? Serving together is worth it. I know that as an adult... Like, I'll just speak from my perspective. I'd rather just stand up there and maybe go up on my tippy toes and get the same thing accomplished, right? Because it would be sure easier to do that than get someone else, you know, get all these other people involved and it makes it complicated. But think about the difference of what's happened. When I did it by myself and went up on my tippy toes, one person got to see. But when we help someone else, when we serve together and we make the effort to do that, we help, just relax, you know. Then we learn something more about ourselves, and we give someone else the opportunity to see so that they're going to teach someone else how to see. Okay? Okay, so Asher, you're going to have to let them go now. Okay, thanks, guys. Nice human pyramid. Okay, I think there's one more set of things. Are you taking a look, Jingxing? What did you find in there? Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that We are involved in something called Cove Kids Congo. We partnered, our family of churches partnered with World Vision, and our church is sponsoring three different children who live in the Congo. So this is just one example. Okay, you guys can put the cooler underneath there, and then you are done. Serving together keeps us in tune with the heart of God, because God's heart is close to the brokenhearted. That's what Psalm 34 says. God is close to the brokenhearted. So God's heart, it keeps us in tune with his heart, because his heart is close to the hurting and needing people and places of the world. And so serving together in whatever capacity that is, gives us the opportunity to know God's heart, to be closer to who he is. We belong to one another in a different way when we serve people who are hurting. So it's an opportunity for us to know God's heart when we serve together. How do we get together? How do we intergenerationally invite our children into serving in places where there's hurt? How do we do that in a thoughtful, consistent way that's not sheltering too much, but is also being safe? And so we wanna live into that as we serve together. Okay, I wonder, what's this last suitcase? Macy, what have you got? Okay, what in the world is in this one? Should we lay it down? Okay, you pull that around. What's the poster in here? Okay. Trust and belonging. That's our last value that we're naming, because it matters to us that there is trust and belonging in our community. So, how can we develop trust and belonging? Romans 14 says, if we live for the Lord, if we die for the Lord, either way, we belong to the Lord. And then also in Romans, it says that in Christ, though we're many, we form one body and we belong to each other. So there's this strong sense that in God's family, we belong to one another and we belong to God. How do we spread that? How do we live into that as a church family? So what's in there? What's the biggest thing in there, Macy? Aha. A life jacket. Very, very safe. So, let's see if this works. Okay, that won't work. We'll just stand it up down here. So, safety. It matters deeply to us that every child and each adult experiences safety in the life of our church body. We pursue this through kindness, sensitivity, and appropriate screening and preparation for volunteers. Many of you are familiar that we've done screening to prepare our volunteers, and we have a code of conduct that we do. Well, this year, it's been a good chunk of years since those of us who first did the screening did it, and so we're going to do it again this year, because we need to renew that, and it's part of how we can develop a body of trust and belonging, is that we're conscious of safety. My cousin's wife, Jen, she talks about growing up in Yellowknife in Northwest Territories, and they grew up on the edge of a lake, a very, very large, very cold lake. And so there was five sisters and then one little brother, Tim. And Steve and I got to meet Tim, and he was a pretty wild kid. And so Jen's mom had a lot on her plate to keep especially little Tim safe. And so this is what she did to make Tim safe when he was going to play out in their yard, because they were right on the edge of a lake. First of all, she removed things from the yard that would be dangerous. She made it a safe kind of environment. Then she taught the older sisters to how to watch out for the younger brother and make sure that he was okay. And then, guess what the last thing is? That Jen's mom, anytime little Tim went out to play, he had a life jacket on. And so his entire growing up years, he played outside in a life jacket. And so we do what we have to give freedom, right? But also to be safe and to give that sense of trust and belonging. And so that's what we do as a church. Okay, are there any glasses in there? Okay, look around. Look around, Macy. Do you guys see these? Do you want to stand up so everybody can see you? Look at these glasses. So trust and belonging develops through respect, dignity, and particularization. Can anybody say that word? Particularization. And what does it mean? It just means that we want to see each person as unique, loved, and is seen for who they are in God. In other words, we want to see people through God glasses. And so each person you're looking at, pretend that you are seeing them how God sees them. That kind of blows your mind, right? So what if we saw each person in the way that God sees them, with all of their gifts, with all of what they need? We all have different kinds of needs. We learn things in different ways. We have sometimes some unique kind of needs. We also each have something special to bring to the body, to each other. And so this is about seeing people how God sees them. All right, there's one more thing in there. You can put the glasses. Here, let's put them in front of this. And then what is this? Seeds, packets of seeds. Do you hear that? So we plant seeds of love and belonging now, recognizing that the harvest may be for a later season in life. So we recognize as a church that sometimes we just offer love and belonging, knowing that we might not see the results. But we offer love and belonging, trusting that the harvest will come in God's economy, in God's story, in his big plan. And so that's part of trust and belonging. Okay, thanks, Macy. Didn't these kids do an amazing job? And so these are the values. This is what we care about and what we want to live into at College Park when we're caring for children and for youth. Intergenerational relationships, biblical literacy, life with Jesus, serving together, trust, and belonging. And so my question for you today would be, what has inspired you? What's kind of grabbed your heart a little bit more today? And in what way is Jesus calling you to live into these community values? So let's take a moment. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask if maybe Jingting and maybe Andrew might be willing to pass out some little newsletters that's going to be part of the kind of fabric of our community life together. I want you to be able to take some of these values home and read them over and think about them at home. All right? So let's pray, and then these guys will pass these out to you. So Jesus, we trust in you. We trust that you will strengthen us as a body and that you will increase our muscles as intergenerational people in relationship. We trust, too, that you will grow our biblical literacy together, that you will grow our sense of finding ourselves in your big story. We pray that, God, you would teach us what life in Jesus, life with Jesus, looks like, this personal encounter that is ongoing. Will you let us be a place where we offer and we make opportunity for that to happen, for that to take place by the power of your Holy Spirit? God, will you grow us as we serve together? Will you teach us how to not just serve and be servants, but will you teach us how to do that together? What it might look like to call someone up and say, do you want to come do this with me? Will you invite us into these opportunities that we might see you and be closer to your heart, and that we would be closer to one another, and that we would discover new things through serving together? And then finally, Lord, will you open our hearts and our lives to this reality of trust and belonging? Will you let our bonding with you happen in deeper and deeper ways, that our bonding with one another would be opened up to happen with strength? Will you let this be a place of safety, a place of belonging in which everyone can experience who you are? And so we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.